Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song.
Nothing breeds confidence like winning. So how's confidence after three in a row?
Yeah, confidence is good. Obviously, the boys are feeling good. I think we've definitely earned the wins over the last week or so. They've been tough games to come out on top in and tight ones, really. So yeah, the boys have definitely earned it, and looking forward to the next one.
Obviously, the win at Birmingham, you've won games more spectacularly, but did that one give you a lot of pleasure as well? Because there was a calmness and a determination to get through it.
Yeah, I thought we looked pretty solid all in all, I think, all the way through the game, really, and as it was a real collective effort for the team, boys that started, the boys that came off the bench and finished the game. I think everyone played the part, so it's always a tough place to go. I've never found that, never find it easy going there, as well as QPR, so similar games in many ways, and the boys found a way to get through it and get the right result.
You've sat there a lot and said that you never felt that the team was far away, and you've been proved right over the last week and a half. Is there anything you can say that's changed, or is it just suddenly it's been your time?
There's always things that change. You know, no game's ever the same, and but it is. It's interesting how the season flows at times, you know, and sometimes when we feel we've actually been playing near our best, we haven't had the right results. But performances have largely been there, and other times when we feel there's a lot more in the performance level, we've ended up winning games. So it's I think you've got to take a balanced view and kind of keep level in some ways, you know, and keep striving to improve. At the moment, we've had a little string of wins, and that's something we need to build on.
How do you view the top of the table now? I mean, obviously, whatever's going on at the top of the table, the last week has made sure that you're still part of it, at least.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. The way this league is, I'd never really give up on it, to be honest. So it's about winning games and being consistent and putting a run together. We've said that for a long time now, and everything's in front of us. It's up to us to play well enough to get the results to see where we can end up.
So obviously Blackburn Rovers, I know it's been said a lot, like every club in the Championship, actually a pretty good team, and yet the league table maybe wouldn't suggest that, but experience tells you nothing's easy.
Yeah, I'd take that with a pinch of salt. I think they are a good team. Watching them, they haven't had a run that probably they'd like in terms of wins, but watching the games and the results, every game's been really, really tight, and they're dangerous, you know, the front three especially, whoever plays, they're a real threat. So as I said, this results don't necessarily tell you the whole story, especially in this league, so we won't be taking that for granted at all, and we know that it's going to be a really tough game. I seem to say the same things every week, but this one especially will be.
Injury situation, are you okay from the other night, and is anything coming back?
Yeah, hopefully, same. We haven't done a lot of training, but yeah, hopefully at this moment in time we'll get the lads back.
And if you guys have got a spring in your step, then hopefully the fans are going to turn up with a spring in their step on Saturday as well, and that can only help, can't it?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, all the help we can get, you know, the energy in the stadium, the atmosphere in the stadium, all the encouragement and support, the boys really feed off it. So, yeah, please come support and be loud and boost that energy and help us try and get the result we want.
Thank you.
Just a quick one for looking off. Back-to-back clean sheets now. That will obviously boost confidence coming up against the league's top goal scorer on Saturday.
Yeah, well, it gives us something to build on, for sure. It doesn't mean that we're going to do the same again by just turning up on Saturday. And as I've just said, you know, they've got real good threats coming forward, and the movement off each other is really good. And obviously, Smodic is having a terrific season in terms of goals and his finishes, and scored some really good goals with his movement. So, yeah, of course, it's something we need to be aware of. We've got something to build on. We need to keep doing the right things and defending well as a team and trying to build on the performance from the last few games.
I know you just touched on it with Simon, but the recent results just show you how this league is just, you can never bet on it, can you? You can never put your finger on exactly where the results are going to fall, because a couple of results you're straight back in the picture once more.
Yeah, it's game by game. I've said it for so long, and you're probably bored of me from saying it, but it literally, I say it for the reason of that, because it's so unpredictable, and you've got to be living in the moment and on your game at every opportunity. So step by step, we'll take it.
Those three wins, Michael, coincide with Johnny Howson's return to the team, and obviously not all on Johnny, but just how important is he to yourself?
Yeah, of course Johnny's important. I think he's a real team player, Johnny, you know, and I've said it a lot, his presence and his example. I think experience has helped us in over the last three games in different ways, not just Johnny, but I think throughout the team and managing the situation. So sometimes you've got to draw on that experience and make the most of it, and that's helped us through.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that experience and you've referenced it after, particularly the last two, you know, on the pitch, how much that helped. With a club like this, where there is, like, it's a young squad in general, how important is that off the pitch as well for those younger players to have the senior heads around?
Just saying by the experience, it doesn't mean this is just because you're a younger player that you're behind the older players. I don't mean it like that. I just think there's certain little points when certain players have gone through and they can feed off it a little bit different, understand what and how to deal with it, and definitely pass it on to some of the younger players, and that's part of learning, you know, and experience is only good if you use it in the right way, and the boys have done that, and the younger players can learn, develop, and they'll benefit from the ups and the downs throughout the season to come back stronger.
Yeah, we spoke to Johnny recently, and he mentioned that, you know, getting the injury and working hard to get back kind of reinforced to him why he was still so hungry to play on. What does that say about him? He turns 36 in May, I think it is, but he is still so hungry to play on. What does that say?
Yeah, I think that's just it, you either have it or you don't. I don't think you can force it. I think about when I finished, I was ready to finish, you know, and I think I was 36, nearly 37, and it was time was up for me, and that was just a natural ending to it, and you never know when that's going to turn up. Johnny's had an incredible career and still going very strong, and to have that burning desire to keep wanting to play, it's obviously fantastic to have. Not everyone has it, and at some point it will go away, so make the most of it while you do have it.
And obviously, you know, still showing his importance on the pitch. Is there any kind of discussions taking place yet on his
just asked me that the other day, didn't it?
A few weeks ago now.
Nah, listen, things like that will get sorted out in time. There's no stress.
Fair enough. With the league table, obviously it's a bit similar on Saturday to Tuesday, isn't it? Because there's a few teams kind of in and around you who aren't in action, so I guess in that sense another opportunity for pressure on.
Yeah, I mean, we don't think about the other teams too much in affecting that. I think we can only play the games in front of us. But certainly on Tuesday, with us being the only game, there was a chance of making a bit of a jump. No hiding from that. So it's not something we'll focus on too much and going into the game, but it definitely plays a part. So it still comes down to us picking up enough points between now and the end of the season for us to kind of where we want to be. So whoever plays, whenever they play, that's really not our concern. But it would be nice to go into the break with another good result and come out of it for the final push.
Yeah. The nature of last season when you came in, obviously it was a bit of a chase to kind of catch up to where you wanted to be last season. I guess you'd probably want the points on board preferably to be higher up, but is there something kind of enjoyable about that chase, you know, like the thrill of the chase?
Careful with that one, eh? there's two sides of it. Of course, we'd like to be at the top of the table with the points in the bag. There's no doubt about it. You know, I'd much rather be sitting on the top. But there is something about momentum. I've said a lot about momentum and how that can snowball and be a real positive. But it's only that if you keep winning the next game. So at the moment we're on, you know, a small good run, and we need to keep trying to get that as long as we can.
Yeah, just finally from me, with the injury picture during the break, is it likely any of the lads will be able to get back to training?
Hopefully we'll have one or two back. Don't want to jump the gun too much on that, but hopefully over the period of the international break we can have the boys will definitely be closer, whether they're ready to come back straight away after that, but they'll definitely be there or thereabouts.
Just on the back of that, how's Josh doing?
Yeah, he's alright. He's obviously in that group with the likes of Hayden and Dale and Alex. So, he's doing well. It's all positive at the moment. Just picking the right time for him to come back in.
I know you mentioned previously that small procedure before Christmas. Has there been any need for anything else?
No. It's just literally a bit of time and rehab and getting a bit stronger and a little bit fitter. So there's no major issues with that at all. It's just playing its natural course really, and hopefully it'll be pretty soon.
Finn's had his first senior call. Big boost for him. Obviously, great news.
Yeah, fantastic. He's settled in well for him, and he's really hungry for success and to be the best he can be. And you can see that he's really driven and wants to do well, and always after little things here and there to get better at. So it's another step, you know. I think that the international call have naturally come from doing things well week in, week out, and there's a lot more to come from Finn, I'm sure of that, I'm convinced of it, and he's shown some really good signs at the moment on the pitch and in around the training ground, so looking forward to how he can finish off the season.
How difficult is it for a player joining a club in the middle of the season when you maybe don't have a month to get up to speed, get a grip to what you want, what the other lads are like, the understanding that you talked about, how tough is that?
It can be tough. I think he's settling really well, to be honest. I think he has, he's... he looks at home, he feels at home, and you know, he's had some really good moments already for us, and I'm sure he'll have more before the end of the season, that's for sure.
Just asking about Rav, I know we've talked about him plenty this season, but clearly you knew what he was capable of when he sat, but could you have envisaged just how impressive he's been so quickly and how quickly he's taken to life in the challenge?
No, I think I said it before, it's kind of... your eye tells you certain things, and we were really excited when we first seen him, and Woody watched him a lot as well, and knows a bit more about defending than me, so I left that room. But of course we all liked what we saw, and then when the opportunity came we were desperate to bring him to the club, and to be honest, all from the start, I think he's been fantastic. His consistency, he's played different positions, I've said it many times. I don't think he's had a spectacular jump in terms of over the season. I think he's just been pretty stable and level, and gradual improvement, and credit to him for that, because it's not easy when you're a younger player. The future bodes well for him. I think he keeps his feet on the ground, keeps doing the right things, and stays in the right place. I think he's going in the right direction.
I remember, it might not have been his first game at Huddersfield in the Cup, when he made a mistake early on. I can't remember if they scored from it on. Almost got, but I remember being struck that night by how he just shrugged that off and carried on regardless. Does that kind of say what he's all about?
Yeah, that kind of sums him up. I think you've got to have that element of self-belief and bordering on football arrogance in some ways. Not a fan of someone who's arrogant, but there's a way in a football way, in performance way, where you've got to have that ultimate belief in yourself, and things will go well. Sometimes you might make mistakes, but you got to overcome them, and then he's certainly got that presence, hence why I've made him captain not long ago, because he's got that presence and assurance, and for a young player that's pretty special to have.
Just asking about Sam Greenwood, obviously his future beyond the summer is uncertain, done with situations with leads and what have you, but he's out the team at the minute. For a lone player, they might well, like, not down tools, but you know what I mean, kind of get the head turned by not knowing what's coming in the future. How's he been in the last few weeks?
Sam's been great, trains unbelievably well, really enjoys it here. You can see that. Yeah, of course he'd like to have played more over the last week or so, but he's important for us. You know, he's had a big impact and he's played a big part in what we've done, and he'll continue to do that.
And clearly, talk's going to wait until the summer, but has there been any inclination from Sam as to what he wants to happen in the summer?
Nah, it's not the time now for me to be bothering Sam on that. I think it's focusing on the games more than anything. And I think, as I said, similar to the Johnny, and there's one or two others that in time it'll work itself out. Timing's important with these type of things, and contracts and what have you, transfers. So when it's the right time, things will get finalised.
Brilliant. Thank you.
You've not had the luxury of being able to pick the same team throughout the season, but you have. It's no coincidence, I guess, that with the results, picking the same team.
Depends. You could pick the same team and get beat, but. I think being able to pick the same team helps in certain consistency and getting used to certain situations and spaces and how players around you kind of react or what they're good at, and there's a stability around that. I think the beauty of the squad we've got, we can make changes and we can adapt and we can be quite flexible at times, which I think is a strength, and we can use that. It's just certain times of the season, certain little moments when picking the same team and the spell we've had has probably helped us. We'll see how that goes moving forward.
And people have rightly been talking about Rav, but looking at Matt Clark, a player that was player of the season for three previous clubs, he got a really serious injury and had a big operation. Are we now seeing the real Matt Clark that's been so impressive at so many clubs?
Yeah, Clark has done tremendously well. I think, again, coming back, it's easy to forget. You know, we tend to move on pretty quickly in football. It's easy to forget the kind of the backstory and what he's gone through over the last 18 months, really. So to have him, since he's come back fit, he's literally not missed a day's training as well, which is not easy when you're out for a long period of time. Sometimes you can pick niggles in the body adjusting to training all the time and games again. But he's been pretty robust, and you can see that by that consistency of training and playing, and his performances are there.
I mean, also being able to pick a centre forward again, Lati Lath, someone with pace as well, has allowed us to mix it up the way that we play a lot. We played along quite a bit at Birmingham. We can play in a different way with somebody being able to play in that position.
Yeah, we can. As I said, it a little bit depends on who you're playing, what spaces, where we feel we can exploit. So it's, we've played a number of different ways really this season, but definitely have a Manu back fit. He's a threat, you know, he's a threat, and he's proved it over the last few games.
It might just be me, but I'm fairly certain that Rob Nichols in that press conference was giving advice to Michael Carrick, talking about Lati Lath mixing it up, so to speak, and moving around it this way. Rob, is this a secret weapon that we've actually got that, you know, the fans aren't aware of, that, you know, those coded press conference questions that we've been launching Fly Me to the Moon with could well actually be tactical tips for Michael Carrick to be a playoff place.
Well, I did say to him about, a consistent team. Is that the secret? And of course, I guess we've finally been able to pick the same tide for three games in a row. Is it a coincidence that we win those games? Of course, it's. You could look at it the other way around, can't you, and say that you've been meddling beforehand, but. No, I think the fact that Lati Lath is fit again means that we've got a centre forward, a proper centre forward with pace. He's also got quite a bit of spring in the air. It allows us to be able to hit the ball long as well as playing it short, and that's kind of really changed the way we can approach the games. We've been caught out again and again, as you probably saw against Chelsea, by playing the ball around in front of our box. But to some extent, we didn't have much choice in a lot of those games because we had no sort of target man to hit. And now we have, and he's fast. So we can play in a different way.
Well, in the immortal words of the official Fly Me to the Moon philosopher, or as I like to refer to him, the Rye Master, football can be a sport that distorts all sense of reality and rationale, such as its capacity to heighten the emotions and stir up an inner passion that is largely incomparable to other such interests. Sean, you're clearly on a philosophical line here. I mean, I feel as though it's only a matter of days before Zen and the Art of Being a Borough Supporter actually hits the bookshelves.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Alex, but it's just been, to echo what Rob said, I think there's been a culmination of a few different elements that have come together. We touched on in the last pod about continuity, and I think having or being able to select the same lineup without fear of sort of players burning out or nursing through injuries and stuff. I think there's been an element of that. Certainly, having a number nine up front has helped. I know I've noticed in the last few games as well, like Rob said, we have played a little bit more percentage football. So if the pass hasn't been there, I think we have gone a little bit longer and a bit more direct. But with someone that can compete at the top end, I think it allowed our players to push up a little bit more in the confidence that someone is up there stretching the defence and sort of it's not coming straight back. So yeah, it's been really good.
Well, of course, Fly Me to the Moon wouldn't be anything without scoops. And indeed, the following scoop is quite frankly probably the most shocking news we've ever released on a Fly Me to the Moon routine. Yes, it's now official. This season will be Thomas Barkley's last official season as a season card holder at Middlesbrough Football Club. What's happening, Thomas? Are you being converted to another team? Or is it just a case of, well, that's it, I can't cope with the stress any longer?
Yeah, I'd love to say that I'd had some sort of better offer or something. headhunted by a Champions League side or something. But no, it's just the fact that I can't really make as many games anymore. For the last few years, I've been able to make enough that it was still worth the money and having one, but now not really so. So yeah, I've in the piece reflected a little bit on that and my time as a season ticket holder. And now it's, you know, although it's been really great to be a part of that and feel that connection with the club, that, you know, really it doesn't matter whether you're a season ticket holder, whether you get to one game a season or whatever, that those connections still go on. And I've definitely felt that in the last few years, going to some of the away games local to where I am now, you know, that you know, that coming together of fans from all these disparate locations is always a nice way to remember that part of your identity again, I guess. So yeah, it's moving on to a new age of my Borough fanship. But yeah, still a very keen supporter, of course.
See, as our official Generation Z or Generation Z member of the whole system, I mean, this is staggering, you know, in all sorts of ways. And I can see, Rob, you almost having to hold back from shedding tears. You say, they grow up so young, so quickly.
Absolutely. Well, Alex, what we need to send you for the next podcast is some footage of Thomas going out for a darts match representing his university. And you'd be quite astounded by that. His walk-on part. I think that might be part of his next part of his life in his darts career.
I mean, bottom line, should Luke Littler be frightened, Thomas? Is it a case of, I've got your number, Luke, I'm on the case?
He can sleep very, very easily tonight. I trust you.
Okay. Well, you know, that could be just false modesty. Keeping the Barkley family household going. Astoundingly, I believe that Chris Barkley will be celebrating his 25th birthday shortly, or thereabouts. But, you know, so it goes. Is it true to say you've already had your birthday present by being at the Borough Town Hall to celebrate 20 years of the Carling Cup victory?
Absolutely. It was a very, very emotional, powerful evening. I know me and Rob were sat on the balcony kind of just kind of recalling a lot of things that we couldn't really remember, you know, and how many players played a kind of pivotal role in our journey to the final. You know, maybe some of the ones that are not always like recognised, like Malcolm Christie and Stuart Downing, really. You know, I know he kind of had sucks, you know, he got cup silverware a bit later in his career, but there was a lot of people who really helped us on that journey. And it was a really, I don't know whether what Rob thought, but it felt a little bit like a gig, you know, people responding like to some of the goals when Janino got that one at Arsenal, and you know, the penalty shootout, and sometimes it was like reliving. It was quite anxious. I didn't know whether they were going to convert some of the penalties. So it was a really, it was a lovely evening. I'm so pleased I got a ticket late in the day through the unorthodox means of the waiting list, which has never happened to me before. So it must have been meant to be.
Well, clearly, and longer than a Ken Dodd gig as well. So Rob, you're basically sort of celebrating the whole thing long into the next morning, presumably.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know whether I reckon Ken Todd would have gone on longer, actually.
He certainly was known for his longevity. Okay, we're going to be speaking about a number of key things in this particular setup, but let's talk briefly, Rob. I mean, March, the old saying was, comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion. I think it's fair to say, after the defeat at Stoke, we weren't expecting three straight wins in a row. Do you feel as though all's well? And do you feel that actually Riley McGree, who we decided to actually pop up in our sort of podcast space here, can he come out with more moments of magic in the words of Michael Carrick and actually continue to score some wonder goals?
certainly hope so. He does tend to save his goals. Really, special goals. It was fantastic. That was a brilliant strike. But I think everything turned on a bit of luck in a way. A red card against Norwich. Norwich were well on top in that game at Riverside. A red card, which was rescinded afterwards. We're really good against 10 men. It sounds ridiculous, but we really punished Sunderland earlier in the season, if you recall, when they had a man sent off. And we got totally on top of that game, and they completely threw the towel in. And we seem to come together in a new formation. Really, after that, we pushed the wing backs up, Engel and Luke Ayling, and they're both just told them to stay up, really, with the three centre backs behind. And that we've really profited from them from those positions in their last three games, and with the forwards taking the chances as well. So there was very few chances, as Thomas will tell you, because he was at Birmingham. There were very few chances in that game. It wasn't the most attractive game, but we got through it and we won it. And another point I made: everyone's been going mad about Rav Vandenberg, a 19-year-old. Who joined Middlesbrough because he wanted to play games. His brother went to Liverpool, and his older brother, Rav's already made more appearances, I think, than his brother has in several seasons at Liverpool. And he's been quite outstanding. But alongside him, Paddy McNair he's sort of brilliant at sweeping up. And then Matt Clark. Well, if you look at Matt Clark was Player of the Year at three successive clubs before he joined Middlesbrough, and he had a very serious operation, back operation, and it's taken him a little while, I think, to get going again. It's quite understandable, but he now looks absolutely superb, and a left-sided centre-back is quite a rarity, and so we've got three players that we can really trust there, and that's a real base to work from, with Senny Dieng back in goal. So very pleased at this run. Let's just see if we can keep it going against Blackburn, a team that often provides shocks against us, unfortunately.
6 years is the amount of time that Paddy McNair has spent in the promised land, at least in the northeast, as opposed to that other club up the road, etc. Talks about an extension. Sean, do you think he's worth seeking out for an extension? Does Borough still need Paddy McNair? Is that worth developing? Would you actually, if you were in Michael Carrick's camp and Steve Gibson, be saying, we need to open negotiations now?
Yeah, I think most fans would probably say the same, and Rob alluded to it. He's been in really good form since he came back in. I think the personnel that we've got really suit the system we're playing at the moment, because with that three at the back, Paddy's really comfortable on the ball and he can step out, so he can make that extra man so that we're not sort of, for want of a better phrase, wasting another player in defence. He can step out and play that sort of midfield role comfortably, as can Rav. He's really comfortable on the ball as well. I suppose the caveat with it is the sort of contract that he's currently sat on. No one truly knows the accurate figures, but it's suggested that he's on a hefty whack. And the suggestion again is that if he was to say, and if we were to keep him, he'd probably have to take a little bit of a pay cut. So I guess for Paddy personally, it's going to be what's on the table and who comes in for him. I think Luton were interested in the summer window and stuff like that. So it's going to be an interesting one, but it was nice to hear that he's quite relaxed about it. He's obviously enjoying his football under Michael Carrick, and he's comfortable to wait until the end of the season. So that could be a good indicator for us. For me, if we were to play this system moving forward quite regularly, I'd like Paddy to be in that back three because of how good he is on the ball and how comfortable he is. So, yeah, I think he's more than warranted at least an offer.
And the likelihood, of course, is given the result against Bournemouth recently after being 3-0 up and then deciding to actually say, do you remember the Liverpool European Cup final a few years ago? Let's hand that over to Bournemouth and let them win all things told. Luton might well be dropping down. Unless, of course, those points deductions on Nottingham Forest and possibly Everton kick in which case you could have an interesting slot for the final relegation place. I think it's fair to say Burnley and Sheffield United are probably gearing up for a return to the Championship. Thomas, the solution, as Rob was intimating there, seems to be either ensure you have Borough playing against 10 men or play against Leicester City. Either of those two would probably guarantee 3 points. Is that a strategy that's worth pursuing? And should we actually appeal to play Leicester City more frequently in the league?
Yeah, it's been a very strange season in that regard, hasn't it? I don't think many of us would have expected some of the defeats we'd had. I mean, even if you just take some of those results in the last few weeks, Plymouth and Stoke, for example, which were really disappointing. But then to have the double over the team that are never to be going to storm their way back to the Premier League is quite impressive in its own right. But I think in some ways is a sign of the sort of Jekyll and Hyde football we've played a bit at times. You know, those performances against Leicester were really impressive and showed a lot of kind of tactical competency and real style and flair sort of performances other teams observing outside who might not be seeing the week in, week out would say, you know what, this is a team that would be well suited in the Premier League, but actually we've just not kept up with it with regards to a full season's football. But yeah, I think as Rob was saying, as the last three games have been a bit of a turning point, we've played the sort of football that and got the sort of results that would make us hope that we can at least keep it competitive. I don't think anyone's getting too ahead of themselves and saying that we're inevitably back on track for playoffs or anything like that. But, you know, we just don't want the season to be done and dusted before you even go into the last stretch of a few weeks. So if we can keep things interesting, you know, we're certainly one of those form teams around that, those sort of 7th to 10th places, which are probably still reasonably with the shout. So yeah, we're going in the right direction at the moment.
Yeah, the classic line about seeing players in March already basically be metaphorically on the beach is never really a good sign. And I think that's something that the playoffs has, to a large extent, kind of at least addressed, but so it goes. Rob, clearly with the 20th year anniversary and, of course, the accompanying evening of night, etc., we tie in with Jimmy Flynn's latest offering. It's all nostalgia. It's staggering backwards into the future, looking longingly into the past. And I think that this particular piece of poetry, he's waxing lyrical once again, isn't he?
He is indeed, yes, absolutely. He's looking at the stars of yesteryear, and wondering what it would be like if they were playing today.
Cue Rob Nichols.
What would the soccer stars of yesterday be like today if on the modern manicured weather impervious super pictures they could play?
Knowing that every pass along the ground they played would not by divots, muds and ridges be diverted or delayed.
Emancipated from heavy boots with laces that could hold a ship in dock, wearing lightweight slip-on sports shoes, would they run amok?
Free from the vagaries of the pig's bladder, leather-cased, laced-up t-ball, playing with a consistently lightweight latex-lined polyurethane ball.
A scientifically designed orb, totally consistent in flight and bounce, allowing gifted ball-playing artisans their superior skills to flounce.
Released from restrictive attire more suited to an Arctic expedition, would every game they played be a free-flowing football exhibition?
If Stanley Matthews, the Wizard of the Dribble, was playing today, would he snake along the wing in an enhanced way?
Would he leave bemused defenders floundering in his wake and his way to the byline unerringly make?
Would fullbacks desperately trying to hold their nerve be hopelessly undone by his deceptive body swerve?
Would Wilf Mannion, Borough's legendary ball-playing golden boy, utilise the utopian conditions his magical talents to employ?
Along with numerous multi-skilled contemporaries of yore, would they elevate football to levels unscaled before?
Now, I felt as I was stepping into one of the Marvel Universe's What If series on Disney Plus there in terms of What If, etc. I mean, Chris, is this a bit of a kind of inevitable thought process we go through in terms of we say, well, is Janino better than Wilf Mannion? Is Alan Foggan better than Brian Clough? I'm joking, obviously. But in terms of that that side of things, you know, and we kind of like to compare things, but really, even with artificial intelligence, we may never find out.
I think it's a very hard thing to do. I mean, I do sometimes watch the reruns of the big match on ITV4.
The theme is worth it alone, let's face it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the theme tune alone. But some of the games that The pace and the tempo of the game is just nothing like the modern game. So I think some of the players in, from the 70s and 80s, I think would struggle. And I think, and we've been victims of it. I think this is probably why a lot of the there's a lot of injuries in the championship, because I think the game is played at such a tempo. I don't think a lot of the players can maintain that level of intensity, sort of game in, game out, for 90 minutes. So I think I think that's why you need to have a squad with a lot of depth and quality. And it's not just maybe the sort of some of the what you might say the veterans in the team. I know Johnny Howson has had a couple of injuries. I think lots of players get injuries just because of the sheer intensity. So it's a tough one, and I don't like it. It's probably the thing that we could never answer, but I think the modern game in terms of the intensity, the pace, it would I think it's just it's hard to have that comparison with the like a lot of years ago, because it's just it's so intense. And there's no let up, really. Even when a few years ago, when you used to have the pass back rule, that kind of used to take the sting of the game. I remember some teams that just knock it back to the keeper and knock it back to the keeper. The ball goes out of play, and the ball boys have thrown it back on straight away. So there's no let up in the game. It's so continuous.
Intensity, I think, is the word. It's interesting, of course, how the actual clothing and attire has actually changed, because in many ways, I think Rob and Chris, certainly myself, can remember the short shorts routine and the notion of actually having any kind of tracksuit bottoms or anything else under the whole thing. These days, it seems as though they might as well be playing in long trousers, really, from that point of view. But that's just another. I mean, maybe we could go full circle and bring out the baggy shorts again, the days of yore, and the baggy short routine. Or then again, maybe not. Sean, let's look ahead in terms of how you see Borough's next couple of fixtures playing out. I mean, I hesitate to use the term crucial, must win, etc. We've got this home match against Blackburn, then of course it's Southampton. Another two wins, and I think it's very much business on for the playoffs. Anything else could well be mid-table once again. But is it that desperate, or are we looking at a case of no, we just need to keep the faith?
I'm at risk. We've always tried to be optimistic on this pod, and I think we should be. But just a little caveat with this weekend. I think it's really interesting. Coventry and I think who's the other team up there? There's two teams without games, basically Hull City, because of FA Cup commitments. So we've got to be careful when we say must win games, but there's nine games left, and if we can keep this momentum going, Norwich have got a tricky away game against Stoke City. I think if we beat Blackburn, it's not inconceivable we could be 2 points adrift, which is very much game on. And last season we played really well and sort of secured our playoff place quite early, and then found ourselves in a little bit of limbo trying to protect the squad a little bit, and we didn't really know how to go about our business in the last few games because we were sort of waiting for the inevitable playoff scenario. I think it's better this season. The expectations are a little bit lower because of the transition of and the turnover of players. I think it's really good when you're on a strong run at the end, because the margin for error is really small, and so we just really need to keep resetting, as Michael Carrick says, and taking each game as it comes, however cliche that might sound. But if we can keep piling on the pressure on those above us and sneak in, then as we know, anything can happen.
And we spoke about momentum, of course, on the program before, and it does actually impact. I mean, that's in interesting times. And obviously, as you're not too far away from Coventry, of course, Thomas, what's the sense there? I mean, basically, 4 points ahead of Borough at present. Obviously, pretty much all played 37 games now, apart from Southampton. They're the only team in the upper echelons, apart from Preston, who have 36 games. Do people sort of believe that Mark Robins has still got what it takes to actually have another tilt at the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, if they win on at the weekend in the quarter final, which I mean, not least would it be a win against a local rival, but to put them in a semi final of an FA Cup, I think that would probably shift their expectations of the season a little bit, and probably soften the blow of any potential missed playoff place. I'm not saying that that would necessarily happen, but it would certainly make the end of the season good, whatever happens. But yeah, I mean, they had a bit of a slow start, but they've looked a lot better since then. I think some of the fans, like everyone really, like plenty of Borough fans too, are slightly harsh on some of their players. I think there's been maybe a little bit of dissatisfaction at the poorer goal return in some respects since Yokere has left. But really, comparatively, it's not that much worse. And really, obviously, Yokere has gone on to be a very good player abroad, but Hamer has hardly had a great time of it really. For Sheffield United. So it's one of those things really, they've made two big profits there on players which have set them up this season regardless. But yeah, I think they're still in with a shout. I think as well, you look at Cardiff, they've won their last, I think, four games. So yeah, there's certainly all those teams that are just there or thereabouts. I mean, I think we're in a good position in some respects given the wins we've had, but we're obviously slightly further away on points than some. But I think those teams around that point still very much in with a chance.
Let's move to the centre spread of Fly Me to the Moon, the paper magazine, the awesome paper magazine. And S and Angels Flight of Mercy, Neil Weldon and Jude writing this one. Rob, would you like to talk us through S and Angel Ian Waller and why he set off on the 12th of June last year to cycle a mere 1,200 miles to Lake Garda in Italy to raise money to support Alzheimer's Society?
Yes, I spoke to Ian yesterday. He was a joiner from Middlesbrough. Sadly, his wife of 50 years developed Alzheimer's, so he gave up his trade to look after his wife. Again, sadly, she passed away. And he pledged to go to raise money for Alzheimer's, in a repayment in a way of all the caring that they did and all the support that they had for the Alzheimer's Society. So he wanted to cycle to somewhere that meant a lot to both of them. But actually, he got two new knees in 2022. He'd had an operation and got two new knees put in. So unbelievably, he cycled all the way across Europe at the age of 70, to Lake Garda to scatter his wife's ashes and to raise money for Alzheimer's Society. I think he's targeted 10,000. He's raised over 6,000 so far. And when he got back, his younger sister, who looks after him like a mum, she said she was going to take his wheels off him if he tried to do it again. But I believe he is. I believe he's. He wants to. He wants to raise the rest of that money, that 10,000. And also being a joiner, apparently, if you go on his Facebook page, he turns his hand to lots of woodwork as well, so you can order woodwork, and it all goes to Alzheimer's Society. So it's a fantastic thing. He's a big Borough fan, I should say, and his Borough support goes back years and years. And the reason it's called the SM Angels Flight of Mercy is because Ian was one of the founding fathers of the SM Angels, that were the guys that never missed a match, as they proclaimed in the song that's still going now. They formed in 1966 at Ayresome Park, and they were like the first sort of kind of ultras, if you like. But they wore weird sort of uniform, with like butcher's coats and frying pans and things like this. But they created an atmosphere, and that was really unusual because I believe that it didn't prior to 66 World Cup. There was very little atmosphere in football grounds. In the there was very few chants. It was a very different sort of world. So we owe a lot to Ian, and say we still sing that his songs now, and phenomenal. What a fantastic thing that he did.
Earlier in this program slash podcast, we revealed the shocking news, if you haven't actually received the paper edition as yet of Fly Me to the Moon, that this is going to be the last season for Thomas Bartley at present as a season card holder. It gets even worse. David Lister, has also announced in a very heartfelt line that it's going to be his last as a season ticket holder at Middlesbrough after 35 continuous years. Now, this obviously ties in with another wider programme which is mentioned. You do address this, Rob, in terms of ticket prices, etc. But his concluding line, he just stopped enjoying going to the games and the sense of belonging to provided to him by being at the games, that's now gone. He's become disengaged and can't justify paying for in-person engagement any longer. That's sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because if you look at his list of highlights as well at the end, he was a big fan home and away, because every game, as he says, he lived in Manchester for most of this time, so every game was an away game for him. So, yeah, it is very sad that it's finally come. He's the end of the line. He used to go with his family and they've dropped out one by one. So it's just him. And, yeah, I felt it was really sad, this disenchantment. I put him in touch with the supporter liaison officer at Middlesbrough Football Club. Thought, can you have a go at persuading him? But, no, he's decided to. He said, though, isn't he? Never say never. Let's just hope that these last few games... The light of fire in him once again, because I like to think that people just go on and on until they go away to Coventry. Maybe we've sent Thomas to Coventry, they just continue to support the team. But I'm glad he's written this article for us. He's going to continue to subscribe to the fanzine. But yeah, he'll be missed. As every fan who, like Thomas, that isn't there, that they're always missed.
Yeah, well, as we said, it's time to recollect all manner of wonderful things. And when you have a big, significant birthday coming up, you deserve to have your photograph in Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine. And quite rightly so, of course. You might have slightly dodgy broadband connections, but we don't care, because Chris Bartley will be celebrating a significant birthday, literally with a victory over Middlesbrough. And what would you like, Chris? 6-0 for Middlesbrough to actually kind of keep the balance in place? Do you think that should be the kind of target they're aiming for?
That would be a perfect result, but I'd be more than happy with a 2-0. I'd be more than happy with a 2-0.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I would take that.
It's brought us round to that predictions area. So, Sean, are you going to go 2-0? What's the thoughts of your good self in terms of Middlesbrough versus Mr. Eustace's Blackburn, as opposed to John Dahl Thomason's Blackburn?
Yeah, well, as you alluded to earlier, we do tend to have games where we struggle against them. But I'm going to go 2-1. I'd love it to be 2-0, keep another clean sheet and keep the ball out of the net. But any win will be most welcome. I'm going to go 2-1.
Very impressed with Sammy Smodic, if only just to pronounce his name, basically, which is very good on that basis. Rob, what are your thoughts on this one? Do you think that the likes of McNair and company will be able to quite happily deal with Sammy Smodic quite easily? They'll snuff him out.
No, I don't think so. He's prolific, isn't he? He's scored a lot of goals. I think it will be a challenge again. I was at the press conference today. All the sort of reporters were talking before the match, and having watched Blackburn a few times, they're all saying that they're a good side. They're a dangerous side. But I'm taking it that we'll win 3-1. And then we remember we've got the international break after that. And there was a few names mentioned today that could be in contention to be fit again after that international break. So this would be perfect to go into that, to go into Easter. It's great, isn't it, having international break before Easter? It's absolutely perfect. And then, yeah, if it was four games in a row, then we might look forward to people like Dale Fry, Josh Coburn, Hayden Hackney, Alex Bangura being back in the mix again in the squad, which would be absolute boost.
And of course, the trip to Southampton and Russell Martin's entertaining and eye-catching, but possibly ultimately futile brand of football. Anyway, Thomas, your prediction for Borough versus Blackburn Rovers, please.
Well, you know, I think particularly given what Rob's just said there about the fact that players will be hopefully coming back after the international break, and given that, let's be honest, it's not the Middlesbrough way to have our hopes dashed before we at least have that unrealistic expectation of playoffs or promotion, is it? So we've got to keep it going a bit longer at least. So hopefully a solid 1-0 win on Saturday.
Good. And 1-0 to Middlesbrough. Astounding.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, how can people get back issues of this season's set of Fly Me to the Moon, or indeed receive the final copies for this year, at least, of the season? Is this the penultimate paper edition that we've got, or is there one? Are there a couple more?
There's two more.
Two more
after
okay.
this, yeah. They'll probably be both being in April. Yeah, probably both be in April. So you go to the website, fmttmborough.com, and click on fanzine shop, and you should have some details in there.
There you go. Well, I think in a slight variation to the norm, and we would obviously say if you want to have all of the details of what we've been talking about on this particular podcast, go and shell out your £1.50. It's probably the best investment you'll ever make for the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine, the paper edition, Borough versus Blackburn Rovers. But my suggestion is, Rob, this could backfire, given obviously I predicted a 6-0 win for Borough against Blackburn. We not only have Come On Borough and Up the Borough, but we also have Happy Birthday Chris Bartley, okay? Now, that could be complex because we've never actually tried that before, but it is pretty much on the cusp of the whole thing. So maybe we can do that. And Chris, obviously, you're excused from this point of view because I appreciate you can just say happy birthday to me, whatever. I mean, you know, that's entirely the whole sorts of stuff. So shall we take this away after three? 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you very much.